This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Good to be with you with Chris Raji. Bernie Mickles will be joining us momentarily. I'm Tom Ackerman. It's great to be with the crew here at KMOX. James O'Sullivan is our producer in studio. Drew Young is also with us here today, making connections to Bernie. What's up, Raj? How are you? Very nicely done with Amy on Veterans Day.
Oh, yeah. Today was a, you know, I don't know if I'd call it a fun show, but it was a good one. And we love talking to General Hertling from St. Louis, CBC grad. He's always fantastic.
We're streaming on X, Facebook, and Twitter. X is Twitter. X, Facebook, and YouTube. If you are looking on camera, I wear this quite often. I don't know if I always explain this logo that I wear, but it is the Kauffman Fund. It benefits veterans and their families year-round. And, of course, today is a big day for the Kauffman Fund. They get their word out about who they are. And the Kauffman Fund is a group that has been around for decades now, and it supports families in need, and it has grown incredibly over the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years, serving thousands of veterans here in the St. Louis area. Whether it's getting them food or getting them a ride to an appointment, legal advice, dental, medical, I mean, you name it, across the board, the services that sometimes I guess we take for granted, Chris, that veterans, and by the way, all of this is done by the lawyers, by the services provided are done complimentary. They do this for the veterans. It's an amazing organization that thankfully we've also recruited Brendan Donovan to be part of it. He from a military family. He's a big supporter of veterans. And we can't thank people enough for referring veterans and their families and businesses to the Kauffman Fund. It's just sort of fed on its own in an amazing way. So I just am very appreciative. If you want to learn more about it, it's thekauffmanfund.org, and that's spelled KAUFMAN.org.
As Amy and I were talking about this earlier, it's a shame that there are veterans who have to seek help, you know, because they don't have the means to make things work for them. It should just be the, in my opinion, the deal that we make with our veterans that you go serve and we're going to take care of you when you come back. It's the bottom line, no questions asked. That's how we should do it. And unfortunately, we don't. So, but it is a good thing that there are these organizations that exist.
Pretty soon they'll be doing a Christmas tree delivery. So what they do is they have a tree lot set up at a bank, Chris. You go to thekauffmanfund.org and you can register if you're a veteran. I've been to this, and they just have a line of cars ready to go. They put the tree on top of the car and send them on their way one after the other. It's really a very special thing. So we appreciate everyone who's been involved with the Kauffman Fund. We thank you for all of your contributions in advance. A great friend of ours here at KMOX, Wayne Kauffman, and the great people at the Kauffman Fund. Bernie Mickles is with us on this Veterans Day as well. And Bernie, before we get into sports and get into baseball specifically, this being day one of the GM meetings, I do want to get your thoughts on Veterans Day. You know, my grandfather served in World War II. My father served in the Army at Fort Leonard Wood. I know that you have a great love for the United States Navy, having grown up in Baltimore. And we all have so many connections to veterans, and today is a very important day for all of us.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for asking. I on Veterans Day, as well as Memorial Day, and also my birthday, because I shared this same exact birth date as in the day of the year and the year, with someone I grew up with, James Love, who was a star goaltender for the Navy lacrosse team. He was a he went to the Top Gun school down in Pensacola, and he was second or third in the class. He was a great, great pilot. And he was so entrusted by the military, by the Pentagon, that they designed a new helicopter that at that time just had all these amazing innovations, like so advanced in everything. And he was the one that they gave that to be the test pilot, to make sure everything was in line. And so he, you know, he was down near Guam, you know, flying this thing with a small crew, and this was in preparation of the first Gulf War, and the helicopter went down, and my friend, we were born on the same day, and believe it or not, married on the same day by coincidence, and he was gone, left behind a wife and two kids, and yeah, I always think about him at this time of year, and I think about him a lot. As you can tell, I mean, not to be dramatic, I'm getting a little choked up talking about it, but thank you for letting me share that.
Absolutely. And as Chris and Amy did in their show prior, if you would like to chime in with a comment here in this noon hour of the Gas House Gang, we certainly welcome it. If you'd like to pay tribute to someone in your life, or you'd like to say something about the veterans here on Veterans Day, please feel free to do that. The streams are open at X and Facebook and YouTube. It is a big day. And by the way, we certainly have a lot of connections to our veterans. I mentioned Brendan Donovan's name earlier, Bernie, about all that he does coming from a military family for several organizations, including the one that he and I teamed up with, the Kaufman Fund. But how about Lieutenant Mitch Harris? I mean, what a story for Mitch, going from the Navy to becoming a St. Louis Cardinal. And he's written a book recently about all that he has gone through. And that's the other thing to remember, Chris, is that, you know, we talk about this in sports a lot, and it is absolutely true with those who have served, is the mental health side of being a veteran and all that they have gone through and continue to go through, to be able to support them, to be there for them, to be open to them, I think is equally as important as anything we just talked about.
Yes, we had a conversation with General Mark Hertling, again, from St. Louis, CBC grad, and retired Lieutenant General of the U.S. Army in Europe. And he was telling us a story about a group of veterans that he was hanging out with and spent several hours hearing stories. And one of the guys just could never really bring himself to talk about what he went through, what he saw, what he did with family. But it was when he was around other veterans that he felt comfortable enough to do it, you know, with people that who understood where he was coming from. And I think we probably don't give that enough credit, that it is just difficult for a lot of those who serve to talk about it when they come back, but then they feel camaraderie with people who also served along with them.
That is well said. We encourage you to chime in if you'd like on anything, including baseball, Bernie, and here we go. I mean, this is day one of the GM meetings in Las Vegas. Chaim Bloom has landed. He got there and on Monday started to lay the groundwork for what he wants to do. Talked about it with me a little bit on Sports on a Sunday Morning. Obviously, the priority, Bernie, right now is starting pitching. You want, and as he told me, if you're going via trade, he wants to try to find, easier said than done, controllable starting pitching for the future.
You know, I think the market works well for the Cardinals, because whether there's fear of a labor stoppage before 2027, I think pitchers are going to be, well, I'm not going to sit around and wait for a multiple year deal, because it may not come. Teams might be waiting to see what the new collective bargaining agreement will be like. Now, listen, we could all be overstating that, but I think it's a possibility that it would slow the market a little bit as far as multiple year deals. And I'm not talking about the top of the market guys. They're going to get theirs. But this sets up well for what I think Chaim Bloom, I'm assuming, wants to do, which is a lot of short-term contracts, one-year contracts, maybe one and an option. And I was looking this morning, last offseason, there were 40 major league starting pitchers, 40 that signed one-year deals. And I would say about, out of the 40, I would say about 15, 17 of those guys did a nice job. And we have to remember that some of those one-year contracts were the teams knew they were signing guys that were either coming off injuries or weren't very good. They didn't expect much, but they just took a chance. But you can find value in one-year deals for starting pitchers, and I think there'll be more of them this year, because I think players are going to be, listen, I need to establish my value for the future contract, for the next contract. And actually being on a rebuilding team suits that purpose just fine, because you're a little way from the spotlight, but if you pitch well, people start to notice, And maybe you'll have an opportunity to get traded to a contender, and then you can really shine. And then all of a sudden, your market value for a multiple-year deal is reestablished. So I think he's going to be searching for guys like that, but I also think he's going to rely on his Tampa Bay roots because that was because they always had a way to find pitchers that others overlooked, didn't see, didn't think much of. They found those gems a lot. I think he'll go – that's one of the reasons why I'm glad they hired him, because he has that – aptitude how to find those guys.
Yeah, you know, one of the biggest names in Cardinals history that I can think of, somebody they went and found, they brought him in, everybody was like, who's this, why are they bringing a pitcher who's hurt? And he turns out to be one of the greatest pitchers of his era, and that's Chris Carpenter. I mean, that was just the move when you think about Walt Jocketty and all that he did. That might have been his best one.
And, you know, even if this is, and Bernie, Tom and I had this conversation yesterday on this show. And even if some of the whatever acquisitions they make during this offseason, especially in terms of the pitching staff, it this year for 2026, it does not bother me that the Cardinals fill out a roster with guys like that. Guys like, hey, let's see what we can get out of him. Maybe we can extract something that was once there but hasn't been. Or we could find something in him that other teams have not been able to find. Or, you know, the 1 year reclamation project. Or just a 1 year guy who, you know, is trying to prove himself. I think that's great. I hope they do end up filling the roster with players like that, because the Cardinals 2026, it's not about 2026 for them. And so they're going to have to field the team, of course, but this is all about Chaim Bloom continuing to get a feel for the organization he now runs and deciding what he needs moving forward. And of course, the potential lockout complicates all of that, but I don't mind it for 2026. If we're talking like 2029, and this is supposed to be a really good team, maybe win the division, maybe win the pennant, then they better not be doing 1 year, let's prove it deals. You know, they better be going for guys who put them over the top. But for right now, that's a perfect way for them to operate.
If they're going to operate at all, guys, they absolutely need a rotation. They need that foundation for success. And you're both right on a lot of different levels there. Bernie, my question to you is, who do you deal? That's the million-dollar question here. Everybody wants to know. Now, Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras. No trade clauses for all three. I think Contreras has already made it known he wants to stay. Arenado has acknowledged that it probably will happen. And I think Gray has acknowledged that it could well happen. Outside of that, Brendan Donovan, and would the Cardinals want to part ways with a high-value silver slugger and Alec Burleson, you think? Where do you see those five? Let's start with those five.
Well, I think Arenado will agree to a trade. I don't think he's going to be picky at all. I think he realizes the time has come, and I think he's you know, he would just, as much as he's like playing for the Cardinals, he realizes it's a good time to make a change. So they'll be able to trade him. They're going to have to eat some of the money. I think there'll be an active market for Sonny Gray, because there's a lot of contending teams that would prefer to stay out of the free agent market, the high end of the free agent market for starters, but would be willing, hey, Sonny Gray's still good. He can pitch for us for 1 year. That's the whole point. We're trying to win it all in 2026. But even then, I think the Cardinals would have to absorb some of the costs. He's supposed to make $35 million this year. Then there's a buyout on top of that if they don't pick up his option for the following year. So it's about a $40 million contract. The Cardinals will have to eat some of that. But there will be a market for Sonny Gray, and I think there'll be quite a few teams. As far as, you know, who do they trade off the roster? I think Brendan Donovan is clearly the best trade candidate in terms of value. I think there'll be the most interest in him. Although I do think if they put Alec Burleson on the market, there'd be a very active market for him. Because Alec Burleson was really, really good last season. And he improved defensively. He improved his ability to hit left-handed hitters. His contact rate is great. He set career best for slugging percentage and a lot of other things. And I'm not saying he's a superstar, but this is a guy that's on the rise. This is a guy that has shown that he still has a ceiling that he can get to. And there's going to be more emphasis in Major League Baseball in terms of contact rates and fewer strikeouts. So he has appeal in that way too. And he can play multiple positions and handles them well. So, you know, he's not a liability at any defensive position, left field, right field, or first base. So I think they would get a lot for Burleson, but I don't know why they would trade Burleson, because he's under contract control through he's at least three more years, I believe.
Yeah, I don't see it either, although MLB Network, the name started to be thrown out there. I think it was,
of course.
Yeah, you know, they like to stir the pot a little bit over there.
And so does Jeff Passan, who, by the way, thought Brendan Donovan would be a good fit for the Guardians.
He'd be a good fit for anybody, tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's not traded, but then again, I don't think Heimblum's going to, you know, sell him low, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We are going baseball talk this hour, but we'll get into some other things too, based on your questions and comments. But I think people are really interested and are going to start gearing their interest towards this very topic, the GM meetings, baseball, the offseason. Kind of the stove got lit today, and it's our job to break this thing down, and we're going to do that today till 1 o'clock with Bernie Miklas, Chris Ronji. I'm Tom Ackerman. Our visits with Bernie, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, a Daikin dealer. Back after this. Welcome back to the Gas House Gang. For those of you listening on KMOX, the voice of Dan McLaughlin right there. Love that. All the former KMOXers who are coming back to join us for our 100th celebration on November 20th. And it's great to hear all those voices. Bernie Miklas, one of those who is going to be part of that celebration on November 20th with Chris Ronji and Bernie Miklas. I'm Tom Ackerman. Cardinal baseball has a deep history here on this radio station and a deep history of success. Bernie, I'm not sure we've ever been through anything like this that I recall. I mean, I've covered the team. You've covered them longer than me, but 97 was my first year. Even in the down years of Bill DeWitt, there wasn't anything close to this. I mean, I've never covered a rebuild, I'll be honest. So I'm sort of, you know, I don't know if you have. So I'm looking forward to it in one way, and in the other, I'm kind of bummed that it's happened, but I've accepted it.
I mean, the only thing that's similar that I've covered is when after Whitey Herzog resigned, and then they transitioned into a period where, frankly, you know, Anheuser-Busch was getting ready to sell the team. We didn't know it yet, and they kind of downshifted. And the early 90s weren't great, although Joe Torre, to his credit, you know, put a couple good teams on the field, but they weren't successful. They didn't make the playoffs. And basically, that set it up for new ownership to basically start over with the team. And that's what Bill DeWitt and his partners did. So the last rebuild the Cardinals had was after Bill DeWitt and his partners bought the team around Christmas of 1995. And they did a very quick rebuild because they hired Tony La Russa. He had a list of requests before he took the job. They went out and fulfilled the list, and they were ready to win right away, and which they did. They won the division in 96. So that was the last rebuild. So I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. You know, we do live in the short attention span theater. In fact, you can't get a seat in it because it's so crowded. That includes the balcony. No room. It's actually a credit to Bill DeWitt that a majority or a large percentage of Cardinals fans, they don't know what a rebuild is. This is the first time. And the previous time was one that he inherited and took over and did a great job at. And the Cardinals statistically and factually have been a top 3-4 major league franchise since he bought the team. But they would never had to worry about a rebuild before. And yet somehow some people would push back on the idea that that actually reflects well on his ownership group. Because how many teams go 30 years before they have to rebuild?
Yeah.
Not many.
No, they don't. And Chris, I don't know that it's a teardown that I see 100 loss plus team here, but it is clearly a rebuild. The one thing that I think the Cardinals have recognized among other teams in the National League is they aren't even close to some of these super teams. Like, we've entered a new era here,
right,
where you got super teams out there. You got teams stacking stars. Cardinals didn't even... close. I mean, I mentioned it to you yesterday at the end of the Gas House Gang. I watched a lot of the postseason, and most of these teams turned the game around with a home run. And I looked at the Cardinals roster. I'm like, who does that on this team? Who? Is there one?
Right. And the thing is, they don't have to be the number one home run team in baseball. They just can't be second from bottom, which is what they were, unless you are just a lights out top to bottom pitching squad, which they're not that either. So they could be competitive. And yeah, the game does change on a dime if you've got power. And that is one way to win. And it's a great way to win, actually, because it does relieve a lot of stress from your pitching staff. But for me, it's not that they have to be great in that area. Give me middle of the road. You know, give me 15th, 16th, whatever. If you're top 10, great. That's awesome. But you don't have to be the best power team in baseball. You just can't afford to be at the very bottom.
I think that is goal number two, Bernie, don't you? I mean, pitching obviously is priority. He said it, and that the bullpen adds to that conversation. But you got to get some power somehow, some way.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And power does win postseason games. I think the Toronto Blue Jays did maybe make a point, because if you look at the Blue Jays, and by the way, I mean they have really good power. I'm not in any way implying that they were bereft of power. In fact, they were tied for like 12th, I think, which is a good total. I mean, that's a good place to be. But again, they're not like in the top five or the top 10. But they were also an excellent contact hitting team, and they hit a lot of doubles. They put the ball in play. They were great with two strikes. They went to the opposite field. They moved the ball around. Their situational hitting was really, really good. So my point is, like, this actually backs up what Ron said. You know, if the Cardinals could even be in the top 17, 18 of home runs, but they do all those other things well.
Yep.
Which Toronto did. That's a formula for success. But you got to do those other things well to make up for whatever power deficiency you have.
Yeah, you do. We'll see what they end up doing here. We're going to take a deep dive into the Cardinals offseason further after we get weather and another break in. We are in the Gas House Gang. We're already halfway through, and we have some other things to discuss as well as we move forward. We are live on this Veterans Day. Thank you to the men and women who serve our country and who have served. We appreciate you, and we think about you today. Back after this. Welcome back to the show. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX with Chris Ranji and Bernie Miklas. I'm Tom Ackerman. A pleasure, as always, to be along with you. A lot of rumors swirling around about what teams are going to do. You got Bo Bichette. This is the latest now. J.P. Morosi, although let's, tread lightly there. He's the one who's threw Burleson's name in there, although I guess I could see it. The teams are looking at Burleson. That Bo Bichette has never played a position other than shortstop in the majors, but there are some people who saw him play second base for Toronto that could be interested, like the Dodgers, like the Mets, like the Phillies, like the Giants. I mean, it seems like the same characters over and over for some of these teams. And, you know, if you're the Cardinals, the question, Ranj, that you saw pop up on the comments is, are fans going to deal with this anymore, knowing that the Cardinals are still a ways away from being one of those powerful teams?
Yeah, Henry Wells writes in, diehard Cardinals fans are tired of this constant talk. They are going to trade every quality player on their roster with a five-year rebuild outlook. Staunch diehards will never resign to the rebuild. That's from Henry. And also we have a text message at 314-436-7900, why the word rebuild is such a dirty word with the Cardinals organization. So two different thought processes there. Like, Bernie, I'd like to know what you think, but I think in modern baseball times, after fan bases around the country have seen what can happen if you rebuild successfully, you see what the Astros did, you see what the Cubs were able to do. You see that you could become a successful franchise if you go through a good rebuild and you have a good process. I think the appetite is more there for it than it would have been like 10 or 15 years ago, don't you?
Yeah. And we're not really talking about a complete teardown, like everything must go. All due respect to Henry Wells. They're not trying to trade every quality player they have. They're not going to do that. But they're looking towards the future and like, okay, who's under contract control for a little while, which would give him value in the trade market, and it's someone we're not going to sign to a long-term extension. And they will sign some players to long term extension once they get their team set up. But people are freaking out about rebuild because, frankly, they don't understand it because they've never had to sit through it before. And the Cardinals are not doing it. We're blowing everything up. We'll probably lose 106 games, 5 years in a row. This isn't that kind of right rebuild. Rebuild does not mean destroy everything. Chaim Bloom, to me, has used the term moderate rebuild. And I could see that. And I'm not predicting that they could turn this thing around in a hurry. I'm not saying that. But I don't think it's going to be this long, endless, painful ordeal because they've got young pitching on the way. They've got to find power hitting. But they're also already drafting and developing better, and they're going to have a much smarter, much more equipped organization from this point out in terms of the way they give their players everything who are young and developing. They give them everything they need, which they have not had down there for a long time. And he's hiring some of the best and the brightest minds in baseball, young minds. Well, that stuff, you don't see it. It's behind the scenes. It's in an office. You don't see what's happening in the minor leagues. So people are losing their minds. I mean, I get it to a point, but I also think, this idea that this is like a nuclear winter and everything will perish from the earth from Cardinals baseball. Let's just calm down a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Why would anybody want them to stay where they were? What good is that to be mediocre middle? The last 3 years, 22nd in the majors in winning percentage. So you want more of that, huh? Oh, you want more of that. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Maybe Chaim Bloom can change course.
It's been a decade, really. I mean, since 15 when they won 100 games, then they didn't make the playoffs in 16. Every year they've just been okay and have not been where the Cardinals fans want them to be. And I get that. I get why they're upset. And I think that's the big thing, Chris, is the jarring visual of empty seats. That's what's got Cardinals fans all stirred up. They're like, our franchise is dying or something because there are empty seats. No, that was a protest of Mozeliak and of DeWitt and of wanting change. There are some who claim that Ollie Marmol is part of that. I disagree with that.
Nah,
I don't think that's part of that. I think it goes way above Ollie. It was a stand saying enough's enough. It's time to make changes. And they did make that change. They brought in Chaim Bloom.
And it goes back more years than just Oliver Marmol's years. Because I moved back to St. Louis 2017. And they had playoff years since I have been back. But you could see, even going back 8 years, you could start to see, even though tickets were sold to the ballpark, you could see a lot of those tickets going unused. And I think this sentiment has been building for a while. This is not just because of the recent Oliver Marmol seasons that they haven't been as competitive. You know, you have that first real bad losing year like you've not had in, a generation. This goes deeper than that. I think this is you're right, Tom, it was sort of a protest against the front office and against ownership, feeling like they haven't done enough to make the team as good as they could possibly make it, feeling like they were sort of taking cheaper ways out, even though they were spending top 10 in payroll for a while. I think this has been building for a long time. Then it culminates in having, like, what, a 72-win season? Yeah. Isn't that what it was a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Then you've solidified that opinion, and people say, see, this is what I'm talking about. I'm not going. But they will come back. You put a winner back on the field, this is not going to be like a Tampa Bay situation where they win all the time but still can't get people to the ballpark. Once the Cardinals start winning again and give people the thought that they know what they're doing and they know how to come out of this, they're going to be right back at Busch Stadium.
Yeah, they were struggling in 22 until they got Albert Pujols, put people back seats. That was a team that won the division, for crying out loud. Bernie, you want to say something about that?
I'll be the heretic or whatever. Let me just say this. Maybe generationally, St. Louis as a baseball town, it has changed dramatically too. It is changing dramatically. And yeah, the fan unrest is legitimate because the Cardinals had the golden goose and they let it starve out a little bit, a lot. And so their product slipped. after 2022, their product really slipped. So I don't blame any fan for being upset by that, because I've ripped the Cardinals plenty of times, the management and ownership, for doing that. But it's at a point where they're going to have some really good young players on the rise, and it's going to take a couple years, but we're going to see an influx of these guys one by one. And I think it'll be an exciting time because they'll have a more entertaining team. And then at that point, like, my opinion that maybe the St. Louis baseball market has really changed somewhat dramatically, or is changing dramatically, that'll be a good test run when a lot of these good young players make it to the major leagues. And we'll just see if those young players who are really, really good are capable of reigniting this fan base.
Yeah.
We'll know more about whether the generational change has been something the Cardinals will need many, many, many years to recover from. I don't know.
A lot of it comes down to that season ticket base. And when they don't renew, then you're in trouble. Because, like, the Blues are terrible right now. Are people going to not show up to the Blues games? Of course not. They're going to go to the game. They already spent all their money on season tickets. I mean, they're not going to sit there and waste it. They spent all the money on it. When they don't renew season tickets at Busch Stadium, that's when you see a lot of those empty seats and it starts to feed on itself.
When you start hearing stories of people saying, I've got season tickets and I can't even give them away to anybody, that's when you have trouble.
Yeah.
Which I had heard from at least a handful of people with Cardinal season tickets who would say stuff like that. Like, nobody even wants my tickets for free. Then you've got an issue.
Yeah. You got to find a way to, in the meantime, to make that of the best value you can, the best entertainment product, remind people why they love the team and why spending Busch Stadium with your kids and your friends and drinking beer and eating hot dogs is a good time. And hopefully the product can mirror that fun. We're going to talk about this rotation. There's some interesting stuff popping in the comments about what this rotation could look like. We'll do that when we come back. But first, Bernie, tell us about Saliga Heating and Cooling. One of the great things about Cardinal baseball, we may talk about some empty seats, but we all know there are approximately 17,000 podcasts about the Cardinals. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many people talk about them, write about them. I can't get enough of it, actually. I do some deep dives sometimes. I mean, some deep stuff where I see some bloggers that I've never seen before, and then I find out that they have a podcast, and I'll go listen to it, and it's good. I mean, it's really good. I mean, insightful, and I love that stuff.
Now, it's not better than this, is it?
I don't look at them as competitors. I look at it as adding on to what we need. I mean,
the ecosystem.
We need more people talking about the Cardinals. The more, the merrier. I love it because it all comes back to the broadcast, and, you know, KMOX has the games and all that stuff. This is an add-on to what we are, the flagship radio station. We have so many people talking about them. Anyway, here's one of the better ones, I think, out there. Some former Cardinals, Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, and Nick said, hey, I was just listening to Cardinals Territory, and they said that Pallante should be in the starting rotation next year. What do you all think about that? Sorry if this was already covered. I did not hear that. Now, I saw a clip of them talking. I think they were talking about Kyle Leahy and all the things that he could provide. Bernie, I kind of think that the Pallante project, we just saw it. I don't know that he is one of the five in the rotation for next year as we stand right now.
And to your point, I'm not entirely sure what those guys said. But to me, there's a big it's a totally reasonable thing to say that Pallante should get a chance to earn a spot in the rotation. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a big difference than saying he should be in the rotation as if he's entitled to a spot. That's ridiculous, no matter who says it. I was just looking at this today. It's funny, and I won't go through all of it, but there's so many bad numbers in his profile, and he's got to get better. He's got to find a way to get hitters out, because it can't be just ground balls, because when he's not getting the ground balls, he's in a lot of trouble. I mean, his stuff is easy to hit. He doesn't get much swing and miss. He doesn't get many strikeouts. He's a vulnerable pitcher. He's got to be perfect in terms of his pitch location. It's a tough thing for him to thread. So, but should he go to spring training and compete for a spot? Yeah. But he's not entitled to anything as far as he should be in the rotation.
No, I would agree with you. My rotation right now is McGreevy. And then beyond that, you know, I'd like to see what Liberatore is going to give me in spring training. I certainly want to see what Leahy's going to give me in spring training. I'm not counting Liberatore out necessarily. He's in pencil right now because I don't know who else is going to bring it. I mean, there will be two, I'm expecting, additions to this rotation. There's always somebody in the minors that has a good spring training. Now, it doesn't always translate into the big leagues, but somebody will surprise you. I think it could be fun to see what happens.
See, in when it comes to major league rosters, I think of William Money from Unforgiven, you know, where he says deserves got nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. Because even if it doesn't matter how well or what they pitched through or the environment they were asked to come into or what they were asked to do that was outside what they had normally done in the past, right? Like Matthew Liberatore throwing more innings than he had in a very long time, which did, I think, add stress to him and probably caused him to wear out a little quicker, which we said at the beginning of the season could happen. That doesn't mean he deserves to be in the rotation for next year, but it is something to keep an eye on. And if they want to give him an opportunity to pitch his way back into the rotation for 2026, then he should get that opportunity. But if they find better options, I don't care who they are, and it doesn't matter what you did for him last year. This is about what are you going to do for me in 2026 and beyond. Then you have to do that. However, reality kind of hits you in the face and suggests it's going to be really tough to fill out a rotation unless you're bringing some of these guys back, like McGreevy, Leahy, Liberatore, or Pallante even. I mean, it's really difficult for some teams to find one starter for a spot in a rotation, let alone three or four. And that's where the Cardinals are right now.
Yeah, they like Libby. Bloom drafted Libby. What do you think of that, Bernie? And then what do you think of this comment here from Keegan about Edward Cabrera? Go ahead.
Well, Cabrera's on their radar. They're going to have to give up an awful lot to get him. But if there's going to be a surprise, he would be on that list of potential surprises, a trade for him. He's got 3 years left before he can become a free agent. He's got strikeout stuff. I have to disagree with maybe the both of you, which is okay. Unless Matthew Liberatore gets hurt, he's in the rotation in 2026. He fought through the fatigue, which I think was Chris Ranji predicted that would be something he would have to battle through, and Chris Ranji was right. He came out of it He came out of it okay. But if you look at his season as a whole, even with that rough stretch baked in, I mean, his fielding independent ERA was a little over four. And he's got really good stuff, and he's too talented. He will be in the rotation unless there is some unforeseen disaster in spring training.
I love the guy. Yeah, I want to see it happen. I absolutely want to see it in 26. We have not much time left. We're about out of time, aren't we? Hey, listen. Thank you to all the men and women who serve our country and who have served our country. Veterans Day is very important to all of us. And God bless our veterans. Bernie Miklas, Chris Ranji, thank you for being with us on the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, saligaheatingandcooling.com.